Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, our mission takes us into the legislative world of Pennsylvania. We're looking at some state-level attempts to regulate large-scale atmospheric modification. And what we found is a pretty unique mix of futuristic definitions and some truly severe penalties.
It's a fascinating case study. And to really get it, you have to start with the political landscape in Harrisburg. That's the real challenge for these bills.
Okay, let's unpack this political context first, because it dictates the life cycle of every bill we're about to discuss. Pennsylvania is on a 2-year legislative cycle, right? For 2025-2026.
That's right. And you're looking at a fundamentally divided government. The Senate is controlled by Republicans.
But the House of Representatives is narrowly Democrat-controlled.
Exactly. So what that means in practice is that any big controversial legislation, and I think we can agree banning an entire category of technology counts.
Oh, for sure.
It just can't pass on purely partisan lines. It needs real, you know, bipartisan compromise just to get out of committee.
Yeah.
So you should keep that divided structure in mind as we talk.
Absolutely. The deck is sort of stacked against any major legislative change from the get-go. So with that in mind, let's identify the active legislation. What bills are actually trying to navigate this environment right now?
We have two bills that are active and really virtually identical in their language and their purpose.
Okay.
First is HB 11167 in the House. It was introduced April 7, 2025, and sent to the House Environmental and Natural Resource Protection Committee.
And the second.
That would be SB 508 in the Senate. It came a little earlier, March 24, 2025, and it was referred to the Senate Agriculture and Rural Affairs Committee.
That is immediately interesting. So both bills have the same title, the Clean Air Preservation Act.
Right.
But they're routed through two totally different committees. One is environmental, the other is farming and rural issues.
That kind of split is often strategic, especially in a divided government. You're trying to find the path of least resistance. But the unity and the content is what's really telling here. The fact that they're both so similar. I mean, they both want to ban solar radiation modification, cloud seeding, and so on. It just shows a coordinated effort.
A coordinated effort to get this exact language looked at in both chambers at the same time.
Precisely. It's a classic move.
So let's get into the content of that move. What exactly are they trying to ban in HB 11167 and SB 508?
The prohibition is pretty broad. It falls into, I'd say, three main buckets. First, solar radiation modification, or SRM. Second, any general polluting atmospheric interventions. And third, they explicitly ban cloud seeding.
And that inclusion of cloud seeding is a really big deal, isn't it? Because a lot of states actually exempt it for things like drought relief.
They leave absolutely no ambiguity here. Cloud seeding is defined and it's prohibited. The bill states that any weather engineering that tries to change precipitation by dispersing chemicals,
yeah,
you know, dry ice, silver iodide, things like that,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
illegal, period. So those traditional decades-old techniques are definitely caught in this net.
Okay, so say someone is suspected of doing any of this SRM, cloud seeding, whatever. How is this law supposed to be enforced? Because this is where the mechanisms in the sources start to sound pretty unusual.
The enforcement authority is delegated locally to the Pennsylvania State Police or even a county sheriff.
A county sheriff.
Yes. And what's really strange is the immediacy of it. The moment cloud seeding or polluting atmospheric intervention is suspected, they are mandated to issue an immediate cease and desist order.
And there's a critical legal phrase in there about that order, right?
Correct. The bill says the order shall have the weight of a court order.
Wow.
Think about what that means. It's instant judicial authority given to local law enforcement based on nothing more than suspicion. It's designed to stop an activity cold without waiting for a judge.
So what happens if the activity is actually part of, say, a federally approved project or something run by another country?
The bills try to deal with that head on. If the activity has federal or foreign approval, the state police or sheriff has to issue a notice to the federal agency involved.
A notice saying what?
Saying that the activity cannot lawfully be carried out within or over this commonwealth. It's a direct challenge.
So the state is basically creating a legal tool to fight federal programs. And they even bring in a military branch, don't they?
They do. The state police or sheriff can refer the activity directly to the Air National Guard. That's a layer of enforcement you just don't see in, you know, typical state environmental law. It shows they're thinking about activity that might be military or federal.
Okay, so if that cease and desist order is ignored, what are the ultimate teeth of this law? Because the penalties, this is really the most distinctive part of the whole effort in Pennsylvania.
The penalties are massive. A violation is a felony.
A felony, not a misdemeanor.
A felony. The financial penalty is a minimum fine of not less than $500,000.
That's the floor.
That is the floor, not the ceiling. Or it's imprisonment for not less than 2 years. Or both.
A felony charge and a $500,000 minimum. I mean, why a felony? Why not just a really steep civil penalty?
Well, the choice to make it a felony suggests the intent is to classify this not just as, you know, an environmental rule breaking, but as a serious criminal threat. Felonies carry a much higher moral culpability in the law.
Right. It's much harder to negotiate down.
Much harder. And remember, each day the activity occurs is a separate offense. So those fines in that jail time could stack up incredibly fast.
That $500,000 felony fine is the key takeaway on enforcement. But let's shift to the scientific definitions, because this is where these bills leap beyond standard environmental law and into, well, something else entirely. What's so unique about the definition of pollutant?
It is wildly expansive. It starts with normal things like smoke and vapor, but then the list just explodes, going way beyond the sulfur dioxide or sea salt that the EPA says is the focus of current SRM research.
Give us some of the terms. What are they listing?
They explicitly list things like transbiologic, genetically modified agent, chaff, metal, radioactive material, even microelectronic mechanical system, and the popular term smart dust.
So this isn't just about banning chemicals.
Not at all. It's about banning advanced, nanoscale, almost speculative materials. And it goes even broader than that.
Broader half.
It's not just substances, it's also forces and fields. The bills define pollutant to include things like an artificially produced electric field, magnetic field, electromagnetic pulse, even sound waves and light pollution. They're trying to regulate manipulating the atmosphere with energy, not just matter.
And who or what is banned from doing this? It's not just people or companies, is it?
No. The bill specifically says activity conducted by artificial intelligence or machine learning would be a violation. It also names kinetic weaponry as a prohibited physical agent.
So let me get this straight. We have a state bill that lets a local sheriff issue a felony-backed cease and desist order, punishable by 2 years in prison, to an AI system that's deploying smart dust using kinetic weaponry.
That's what the text says.
Which raises a huge question when we compare this to our other source materials, specifically the federal view from the EPA.
And this is the critical tension. We have to frame this neutrally. Just comparing what the PA bills regulate versus what the EPA sources say is actually happening.
Okay, let's start with the materials. The PA bills ban things like smart dust and chaff.
Right. But the EPA sources, they focus on potential materials like sulfur dioxide for SAI or sea spray for marine cloud brightening. And the EPA explicitly states large-scale SRM has not happened.
And that any current releases are tiny?
Extremely small. Huh. So the state law is written to stop the deployment of exotic materials that the federal sources we have simply don't recognize as being used.
There's a clear disconnect.
A huge one. And it's the same for the enforcement side of things. The PA bills give the state police power to notify federal agencies that their activities are illegal in the state.
But the EPA sources state very clearly that the U.S. government is not engaged in any outdoor solar geoengineering testing or large-scale deployment.
And that's the paradox. Pennsylvania is building this incredibly severe legal framework, a maximum security prison for this tech, if you will, to prosecute threats that the federal science documents we have say are, for now, largely theoretical.
Before we wrap up on the current bills, let's look at the history, because this isn't the first time this exact legislation has shown up in Pennsylvania.
No, it's a recurring effort. In the last session, 2023-2024, there was SPBR 264.
Also called the Clean Air Preservation Act.
Yes, nearly identical. It was introduced late in the session, June 2024, by Senators Mastriano and Dush.
And it had the same sweeping bans, the same powers for the police, the same felony penalties.
Precisely. The language was almost word for word what we're seeing now in the 2025 bills. But it was sent to the Senate Agriculture and Rural Affairs Committee, and it ran out of time. It expired sine die on November 13, 2024.
So the key takeaway from 2024 is that even this detailed severe bill died in the exact same committee where the current Senate bill is sitting right now.
That's right. Which brings us back to the practical position of the current bills, HB 1167 and SB 508.
So based strictly on our sources, what's their status today?
They're both stuck in committee,
yeah.
HB 1167 in the House Environmental Committee, SB 508 in the Senate Ag Committee. They are best described as dormant or perhaps symbolic.
And because they haven't passed, there's obviously no evidence of them being implemented or enforced.
None whatsoever. They are not operational law.
Let's quickly recap the one key feature that you should take away from this Pennsylvania deep dive.
I think it has to be the combination of severity and scope. The bills are just distinguished by these unparalleled penalties,
yeah.
A felony, a $500,000 minimum fine, and that's coupled with these incredibly specific enforcement mechanisms aimed at futuristic tech. AI, kinetic weapons, things not recognized in the EPA sources as currently deployed.
So we have this highly detailed, intensely punitive legislative effort that is, for now, stalled in a divided government. And that brings us to our final provocative thought for you.
We noted that the last bill died in the Senate Agriculture and Rural Affairs Committee. Now, the new bills are split between two very different committees, House Environmental Protection and Senate Agriculture.
Right. And those two committees often serve very different political interests and prioritize different kinds of harms. So the question for you is this. In a government this divided, how much does that initial choice of which committee gets the bill influence its chances of ever reaching the governor's desk? Does the choice of committee actually matter more than the content of the bill itself?
Something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And that concludes our deep dive into Pennsylvania's GeoLaw Watch stack. We hope this gives you a clear, critical, and comprehensive look at this unique legislative landscape.